You want to turn with me to 1 Corinthians this morning. Over at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, we're all here for a reason. You're where God wants you to be. He's made an appointment with each and every one of us this morning. Some of us might think, why are we here? Why did we come? I don't need to be here. And it's a time for celebration. Easter morning is a time of celebration. It's the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 here, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. We just thank you for what a glorious morning that we can remember your resurrection. There was many people throughout history, many people that were famous and important and many important people that died, but none of them were raised from the dead like you. That is where we get our power from. That is where we get the power of the resurrection. That's where we get our salvation. And we just pray for this morning message. We pray as we learn and grow together that we'll each be challenged, that we'll each be encouraged, that we'll each be blessed, that you'll talk to us, that you'll teach us, that you'll convict us. Thank you for a wonderful morning, Lord, and we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen. You know, there's two different people in the world, and I'm not talking about the believer and the unbeliever, but the Apostle Paul talks about different people, and in James it even says, talks about demons that believe that there is a God. But it's more than just believing that there is a God. We have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he rose again, and that he lives within us. The good news of the story of Jesus and how the events of his life 2,000 years ago still have a major impact on us today. That story that happened 2,000 years ago can change our life today. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there are three aspects. Christ died, he was buried, and he was raised from the dead. Historians are very clear about two things about Jesus. Everybody believes that he lived, he existed, and he was crucified. Nobody doubts those two facts. Now, when it comes to the resurrection is where the argument comes in. But everybody knows that Jesus existed and that he was crucified. And I first want to start talking about the suffering that Jesus Christ went through for you and I. The pain and the torture that he went through. Jesus Christ was stripped of his clothing. His hands are tied to a post above his head so that the flesh of his shoulders and the back are stretched to the limit. Back in the Old Testament times, the Jews had an ancient law prohibiting more than 40 lashes, which is why Paul several times received only 39 lashes. But the Romans made no attempt to follow Jewish law in this matter. And Jesus probably received many, many more than that. They call it a cat of nine tails. They took a whip and they would take little hoops, and they'd put shattered glass in there. They'd put lead ball in there. They'd put whatever they could find inside little knots. And when they would take it and whip Jesus, it would catch his skin. It would catch his flesh. And when they ripped it out, it would just pull skin and gouges and bleeding everywhere. And he was whipped at least 39 times, probably way more than that. He was beaten. He was mocked. After that, they took a robe and they put a robe on him and put a crown of thorns on him and worshiped him. Just think of that robe attaching to his skin from all the blood that is there. And then all of a sudden they ripped that robe off of him too. And all the wounds open back up again. Turn with me to Isaiah 52:14. Jesus was beaten, he was mocked, he was spit on. He did all that for you and I to take our sins to the cross. In Isaiah 52:14, I actually like the New Living Translation version, but it says, "But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human, and from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man." After all this agony he went through, after all this pain, after all this beating, after all these whippings, you couldn't even tell what he looked like anymore. But he was still willing to get up and go to that cross. He was still willing to say, "I'm going to do this." He did that for you and I because he loved us. He did that for you and I because he wanted us to be with him. He goes to the cross of Calvary. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ was not God's secondary plan. Before the world was created, before Adam and Eve were created, he had a plan. He said, "I will send my one and only Son. He will be sacrificed. He will be the ultimate sacrifice, and he will raise from the dead to save everyone from their sins." We can see that in Matthew. Turn over with me to Matthew chapter 16. He prophesies this time and time again that this is going to happen to him. But it was a plan from the beginning. Matthew 16:21 says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." This is one way to prove that it really happened. He prophesied that he would go to a cross. He prophesied that he would be beaten. He prophesied all this that would occur. Look at Matthew 17. Matthew 17:9 says, "And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." Look at verse 23. Verse 23 of Matthew 17 says, "And they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again." And they were exceedingly sorry. This was all prophesied from the beginning of the world. That Jesus Christ would be born of a Virgin Mary, that Jesus Christ would be beaten, that Jesus Christ would be mocked, that Jesus Christ would go to the cross of Calvary, because he loved you and I. But it didn't end when he died on that cross. It didn't end when he was buried in that tomb. Look over with me to 1 Corinthians again. There's many eyewitnesses that saw him after the resurrection. And you can see even beforehand that Peter and the 12 never believed that Jesus Christ would go to the cross. He never thought it would happen. You can see that in Matthew 16. You don't have to turn back there, but in Matthew 16, verse 22, after 21, it says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." The 12 disciples never believed that Jesus Christ would go to the cross. They never believed that he'd be raised from the dead. They never believed any of that would happen. But after the resurrection, they began to believe. After the resurrection, there were many witnesses. After the resurrection, they changed their story. So it proves that it really happened. You can see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5. It says, "And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times on the way to the cross. But after the resurrection, these 500, the 12 disciples, they were all martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if this is just some made-up story, I don't think I'd be killed for it. I don't think I would give up all my rights just for some made-up story or some hallucination or from some ghost that I'm seeing. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. I think the other reason that proves that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead is from transformed lives. You can see the conversions of the Corinthians. You can see millions of others in every century and culture have testified to the life-changing power. You can even see the life of the Apostle Paul. You know, Apostle Paul probably, he calls himself the chief of the sinners. Chief of sinners, and he went out and changed his entire life. How many times was the Apostle Paul beaten? How many times was he left for dead over this story of Jesus? This story of Jesus is real. The story of Jesus being raised from the dead is in fact a fact. Go down to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. The Apostle Paul goes on to say, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable." If Jesus Christ wasn't raised from the dead, our preaching is worthless. None of this matters. We're preaching an empty faith. Even worse, all the New Testament writers would be lying if Jesus wasn't raised. If they lied about something as crucial as a resurrection, how can we say the scriptures are inspired by God? The Word of God is inspired. The Word of God is real. The Word of God is truth. And if Jesus Christ wasn't raised, our faith would be blind faith. You know, I hear all the time, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere about it. And that's not true at all. There is truth, and the Word of God is truth. Many people can say, I want to ignore this. I don't have to know this. I don't have to understand this. You can ignore it all you want, but it's still truth. You don't have to listen to it at all. But one day you will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. One day you will have a choice. You know, there are two basic thoughts of school about life after death. One of them believes we simply cease to exist, while the other believes we continue to live in a more advanced realm. Observing the history convinces that latter was more popular. For man, the thought of coming to a state of non-existence brings fear, because that was not the way he was created. Look at John chapter 6, verse 40. John chapter 6, verse 40. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Everyone who dies believing in him has the hope of being raised again. We will be raised from the dead on the last day. This is the will of him that sent me. God the Father sent Jesus Christ the Son to have this plan, to have it all play out. In the end, we'll be reunited with our loved ones, anybody that went on before us. But again, if Christ was not resurrected, all of these expectations are null and void. If God could not resurrect Jesus Christ, he doesn't possess the power to resurrect us either. That is where we get our salvation from, is from the resurrection, from the power of Jesus Christ being raised. These 500 men would have not gone through all this preaching it and teaching it and telling others about it when a week before, Peter denied Jesus 3 times and said, I don't even know him. All the miracles that they saw throughout his earthly ministry, Peter said, no, I don't know him. I know nothing of him. But after the resurrection, Peter changed his story. The 12 changed their story. The 500 changed their story. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. The Apostle Paul was a man that suffered and laid his life in the name of his faith in Jesus Christ. Before he was converted, he was out there killing Jews. He was out there killing anyone. There was no need for him to change. There was no need for him to... He thought he was doing the right thing. But the power of the resurrection converted Paul. Changed Paul. Why did Jesus do this? He did this because he loves you. He did this because he loves me. Jesus Christ knew 2,000 years ago that you'd be sitting here today. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." The gospel just means good news, and here is the good news the Apostle Paul is going to give us. "Which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." This is what we have to believe. This is what we have to hear. This is what we have to say yes, Lord, to. He says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the 3rd day according to the Scriptures." This is the gospel. This is the good news. All you have to do is say yes, Lord. 2,000 years ago, he went. He took your sins. He took my sins. He took the weight of the world's sins on him. He was whipped. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was spitted on. And he went. He drug the cross up to get the Golgotha. And he hung there with our sins upon him. Today, sin is no longer the question. We don't have to debate what is a sin, what is not, which sins are right, which ones are wrong, which doesn't matter. Sin is missing the mark. And when we measure ourselves up to the Almighty, Holy God, we fall short. We fall so short of the glory of God, it's impossible. We don't have to debate what sins are. Sins are no longer the issue. He paid for them 2,000 years ago. He went to the cross of Calvary and paid and took care of your sins. All you have to do today is say, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Church all the time says, "Well, have faith." Faith is just taking God at his word. When you believe it, you read it, and you say, "I believe that. I believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. I believe that he was buried. I believe that he was raised again the 3rd day. There's many reasons of why we can say that it happened. We got witnesses. We got conversions. We got creation. Jesus Christ is real. And this is the most important decision that you'll make in your life. It's your choice. I can't make it for you. No one can make it for you. It's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And all you have to do is say, "Yes, Lord, I believe in what you have done for me." Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary for you. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to take communion this morning. And it's a time that we reflect on our life. It's a time that we reflect on what Jesus Christ has done for us. The power of resurrection can bring us power. But first, if you look at 1 Corinthians 11, 27 and 28, it says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." First of all, if you've never given your life to the Lord, just let the elements pass by you. You don't have to take them. If you gave your life to the Lord today, if you said in your heart, in your mind, that I do believe what the Lord Jesus Christ said, I do believe in the Word of God, I do believe in this stuff, you may take them. And if you're going to take them today, it's a time of examination of yourself. It's an examination of your life. Think of what he did going to Golgotha. Think of the crown of thorns in his head. Think of the whippings that he took. Think of the beatings that he took. But that's not where it ended. He was raised again to life. If the gentleman will come forward for this at this time. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 and 24 says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Ernie, would you pray for his body?
So much so that his followers did not recognize him. Father, we thank you that he willingly stayed on the cross, and knowing that him being God, he could have stepped down and said, "No, that's it, I'm through with these people." And he could have started over, but out of his love, he stayed there, paid the sin debt that we cannot pay, and gave each of us the opportunity for salvation. Father, I thank you so much for his love for each of us. I pray to you in his most precious name. Amen.
After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. We don't have to do anything to come. We don't have to do anything to earn your salvation. We don't have to do anything to maintain that salvation. You did it all for us. You paid the price for us. You went to the cross of Calvary. Oh, what pain you must have been then. Oh, what agony you had to be in. You were all man. You were 100% man, 100% God, and you stayed on that cross of Calvary. We just thank you for the love. We just pray that if anyone here doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior this morning, that they will put their faith and trust in you. We don't have to go to church. We don't have to be good enough. We don't have to give more. We don't have to try harder. We don't have to be baptized. We have to put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's all we have to do. Yes, Lord, I believe the word of God. Yes, Lord, I believe what you say. Yes, I believe that you took my sins upon you. That's why you were beaten so much. That's why you were mocked so much. That's why you took everybody's sins upon you. And you took them to the cross. And you stayed on there. You could have called 10,000 angels and said no, but the love that you have for mankind. We just thank you, and we thank you for a wonderful Easter morning. We thank you that it didn't end on the cross, that you were raised 3 days later to give us that power. The power of salvation comes from the resurrection. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.